We are here standing at the Fountain Gate this morning. I want to ask you a question. How did you prepare to come this morning? What did you do to get ready to meet with God and with the people of God as you left your homes or as you woke up this morning, as you made your way here? What was in your heart? What were you thinking? How were you preparing yourself to join in fellowship, in community here? How honest, if I was to take the mic round, how vulnerable would you be with me? I want to show you this because I'm very proud of this. I don't know if you use the Bible app. Anyone use the Bible app? Yeah. So it tells you, doesn't it? It tells you how many times you've used the Bible app, right? It tells you when the last time was. Oh, I haven't seen you for a while. Now, it calls me Pastor Murray. I quite like that. So it says, well done, Pastor Murray. You've been here 3 days in a row. Well done. That's really good. Actually, this morning I received a record, 100 days in a row. And it was like little kind of virtual confetti and everything. Now, I must be very honest and say, I don't remember accessing it for 100 days in a row. So I'm just blessed, obviously. But that's pretending to prepare, isn't it? That's the app telling you that you've prepared. But how prepared are we? Now, if you were a Jewish worshipper, the Jewish worshipper is always prepared in advance. They come to God having worked out their personal dirt through washing with water, then offering a required sacrifice in order to get themselves right with God. And then, only then would they gain access to the temple, to that holy place. Or these days, it's the Western Wall, isn't it? The Wailing Wall, as we call it, to offer their prayers and petitions to God. And if you were a Jew today in our society, in preparation for worship, there's a helpful 3-page document you can download. I tell you, I've done a lot of research this week. And it's basically for the average Jew. It's a checklist to remind them what they need to do to be ready for Shabbat, for Sabbath, which is, of course, as you know, from sun going down Friday to sun going down Saturday, isn't it? That's their Sabbath. And of course, they're not allowed to do anything on Sabbath. They're not even allowed to turn on and off a light switch. You can't operate any electrical device. No hoovering for you on a Sunday or a Sabbath, I tell you. And I was reading this blog and it was encouraging the ladies of the house. You may like to get your house clean on a Wednesday because your diary might be full on a Thursday. And of course, you're trying to get ready for Friday evening. And I'm thinking, what does that even mean? Get your house, and you can't have any dishes you've washed lying on the side. You can't have your washing line in a pile. It's got to be away. Got to have swept up and hoovered up and mopped the floor. Done everything. Because you're going to have guests coming, you see. It's really, really important. For the Jew, the average Jew, there are things that they're not even allowed to touch on the Sabbath. That's called the mikveh. There's things you're not even allowed to touch on the Sabbath, okay? So there'd be no guitar playing. There'd be no electrical items. Money you can't even touch. No iPads. Oh, look at that. That'd be a quiet house, wouldn't it? Very quiet. We have to talk to each other and stuff. But they say that even though you can't touch things in a traditional way, in a normal way, you can still move things out of the way if you need to by non-standard movements. I was really fascinated by this point. You can imagine how interesting this stuff is for the non-Jew. You're like, oh my goodness, really? I didn't know this. Seemingly, if there's something, like if you've broken a glass on the Sabbath, right, you're not allowed to pick it up with your hands. You can't nudge it with your feet. You can't even pick up the broom to sweep it. But it's okay because the rabbis of the last couple of centuries have decided that they would put in place things to help you. So you can use things like your nose to move it out of the way. Okay? I'm not commenting on Jewish noses. I seem to have a bit of one myself, so I'm not going there. You can use your nose, or you could use your elbow, or you could blow. Okay? So preparation for Sabbath, that's what it looks like in a Jewish household, maybe, or maybe not. Now it seems silly, isn't it? The Jewish person is preparing for the Sabbath. They know what they can do. They know what they can't do. They know what's going to help them get ready. They know that they're not going to be able to light a fire, boil water, but they know that there's going to be loads of guests coming through the door. They know there's going to be a building of community. And actually, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking it's such a beautiful picture of church, putting aside all the normal stuff that distracts us, and instead focusing on each other, focusing on people, building up the community, preparing to support and help and love each other. Isn't that a great picture of church? I was really encouraged by that. And I hope you are as well. Now this morning, I don't want to ask you how prepared you are or see your Bible app and let me tell you the negative days you've not been looking at your Bible or whatever. I just want you to be encouraged that God has some stuff for you here this morning. You've made it. You made it to church, and God wants you here for a reason. He doesn't want you to leave without being changed, without being transformed inside by the renewing of your mind, by the ingesting of the Word of God, by what He's got to say to you this morning. It's really, really exciting. So, okay, all that aside, we're at the Fountain Gate. What's the Fountain Gate all about? Where was it in Jerusalem? It's found in the southeast wall of the city of Jerusalem. And it seems to have been fed by the streams of Gihon, not said properly, but you don't know. And also it seemed to fill the pool of Siloam, where Jesus told the blind man to go and wash in John 9, verse 7. Now, did you know, I'm going to just glance at this, that Hezekiah was the one that had the channel built, a 200-meter long tunnel carved out through rock so that Jerusalem would always have fresh water inside during siege times so that the people would be kept alive and sustained. That's all I'm going to say. Look it up in your Bible. Hezekiah, water, yeah, whatever. Right, but so the Pool of Siloam is the only source of fresh water in Jerusalem, inside the walls. And it was the place that people would come to collect water and to bathe, etc. But we're talking about the Fountain Gate. We're talking about this place of preparation. That's why I was talking about preparation. Ah, yeah. It wasn't just a random, yeah, okay. So it's where the Jewish people would come and they would prepare to worship God. Here they would come. Is there a picture of a man? A black and white picture of a man with a strange hat. So I think this might be quite a modern picture, and that's not actually the Fountain Gate, but you get the idea. So the Jewish worshipper would come to this place just outside the access to the temple, and he would take the cup and he would pour the water three times over each hand ceremonially, because the Jews believed that the running water, the fresh water, they classed it as living water. And so by washing in the living water, they were sanctifying themselves. They were making themselves holy, preparing themselves for worship, and then, only then, being able to come through the door into the temple to offer their sacrifice. Preparation for worship is key to understanding the role of the Fountain Gate. But we also need to realize that there's a precedent here in our church tradition. Have you ever seen the font at the back of the Roman Catholic Church? I don't know if there's any Roman Catholics here this morning, and I'll probably offend you, I don't know, but just to say that the font at the back of the Catholic Church, where you would come in and you would dip your finger in and then you'd make the form of a cross on your forehead, that preparation for worship, using the holy water or whatever, you know, that is the direct ancestor of the Fountain Gate. Now, I look around the Baptist Church and I think, okay, all this stuff that we're saved from, you know what I mean? We don't have any icons. We've got no gold leaf anywhere. We don't have any pictures of saints. We don't have any statues. We get nothing carved in stone in this building, because we are the nonconformists. We are separated. We have taken ourselves deliberately back to Jesus. And we're saying we don't have any forms in the way of that. Nothing's going to get in the way of us seeing Jesus. Apart from, we're not going to put Jesus on the cross because he's already risen. Hallelujah. Okay, so that's just a little bit of kind of, oh, if you're wondering why were the Jews washing their hands? Why do Muslims wash before they pray? Why do the high church and the Catholics take some water before they come to worship? Why don't we do that? Because actually, there's only one mediator between God and man, that's Jesus. And so we have access to the throne at all times. Christ lives in us. He sees you at your best and your worst without you actually having to do anything. So we are preparing for worship all the time, aren't we? In the way that we live our lives, in the way that we conduct ourselves even. Okay? So, I just want to say at this point, our first word is preparation. I just want to encourage you this morning to continually be thinking, am I prepared to worship? God is with me 24/7. God never leaves my side. Am I prepared to be the person that God has intended me to be at all times? Okay? And when you come to gathering, the gathering is very important as well. This is the community that God has asked us to be part of so that we can encourage and bless and love on each other, encourage, lift up our brothers and sisters. This is what this is all about. We do it better together than on our own. And that's very important. I need to say that. Okay, moving on. Our second word is power this morning. Now, you might have noticed that what happens when we've been preaching through the Gate series is that we take you to Nehemiah 3 really quickly and we go, Nehemiah 3, this is the verse. I put it up the screen. I didn't even read it this morning. Oh, how dare I not read that verse? Because actually, the verse is just an indicator for us. It shows us a location. It shows us the kind of outline of the topic that we want to talk about. And then the preacher will go, okay, this morning we're talking about this gate, but actually I'm going to take you over here and we're going to look at this passage. And that's going to help you understand the meaning of the gate. So I'm going to do the same thing this morning, obviously, because the fountain gate is really all about, it's all about living water. It's all about preparation. It's all about worship. And it's all about the power of God, the release of the Holy Spirit. Now, for us, after Jesus, after the sending of the Holy Spirit, this gate is the coming into reality of the words of Jesus from John chapter 7, 37 to 44, which says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up till that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Christ. Still others asked, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Okay, now this is really, really important. And I made a discovery this week. And I made a discovery, and I confess, there was a dodgy website involved. I was saying this to Karen last night, and she's like, you know, doesn't really matter, because as long as you checked your source, and so I found it somewhere else as well, and it's all okay. But it's weird to think that if you're looking through the internet for inspiration or for stuff, you can easily be led astray into error and into the wrong kind of places. The kind of JW.org or the Mormons, they've all got very similar Bible teaching pages, which are not going to be helpful to you. They've got a very different underpinning of their theological understanding. Jesus is not God for these guys, but they want you to think that they're going to help you as well. Okay, so I'm just throwing it out there, honestly. That's where I initially struck on this concept, but I also managed to find it somewhere else. So it's okay. What I'm telling you is good, all right? So here in John 7, verse 37, it tells us that this is the last and greatest day of the feast. Now, what feast is it? It doesn't tell us any more information. We're left going, What is going on here? Why is this story being told to us? And now some of the commentators are saying that this was the Feast of Tabernacles, during which the preparation of the burnt offering, they would do a burnt offering every day for 7 days. So during the preparation for that burnt offering, a procession of priests with flute players and singers and dancing would wind their way from the temple down to the pool of Siloam, where a priest filled a golden flask with water, while a choir repeated the words of Isaiah 12:3, which says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Okay, which shows exactly what they thought of the water. To them, it was living water. It had salvational qualities. Okay, it's really, really important, this. So this is what they were doing every day. They were walking down past the Pool of Siloam to the fountain gate, filling up the golden flask and doing it with lots of singing and dancing. You see the guys dancing in the background there? Na, 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 na. I just want to get you the real picture. You know, this is three-dimensional, four-dimensional preaching this morning. When we hear in John 7 that Jesus is speaking to the crowd on the last day, which is the only day that the water drawing ceremony is not done, okay? At that significant moment, Jesus says to the crowd, who, remember, are missing out on the drawing of the living water from the fountain gate. Can you imagine? Right, okay, Porthleven Food Festival yesterday, somebody jumps up on a table and said, "I have a pasty, and if you eat this pasty, you'll never eat again." Now, could you imagine that? Could you? I just want to give you it so that you get a bit more excited about the context, because you look a bit bored, really, to be honest. So Jesus, on the day when they're like, "Oh, where's the water drawing priests singing and dancing parade?" "Oh, that was yesterday, love. You're not having that today." Then suddenly Jesus jumps up and he says, what did he say? "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." Okay, that's another Isaiah reference. You can look it up when you go home, all right? Because it says, as scripture has said. So then you've always got to say, "Oh, where does it say that in scripture?" Okay, you do that, don't you? Don't you? You do that. Yeah, I hope you do. It's not very clear because it sends you back to John 4, the woman at the well, okay? In case you're worried, they are connected, but it's you've got to do a bit of work. Are you up for the work? You do it? Yeah, okay, right. So I'm just throwing that at you. So it's a significant moment. I love what Jesus does here. Do you see what Jesus has just done? Do you understand the significance of it? You've got priests who are doing the same ritual they've done for thousands of years, and they're coming to the temple, and they're just about to do the same thing again. And Jesus says, "Whoa, hold on there. Hold on. I'm going to use all the same words. I'm going to use the same significant meanings. I'm going to do it in the same place. But what I'm telling you is the old ways have gone. The ritual has departed. God has come to you in a new way. You don't need the physical water anymore. I'm giving you spiritual water. I'm saying to you, don't hold on to the past. I'm saying to you, come with me into the future. God is doing something new." Now, scripture is very clear here that the Holy Spirit hadn't even been given at this point. Jesus couldn't actually follow through the words that he's saying to them, but what he's doing to them is saying, this is what you need to be looking for. Look for the signs of the living water. Stop holding on to the traditions of the past. Stop looking at the way of your elders, because God is doing a new thing, and he's doing it right now, right in front of your eyes. Now, I love that. That's redemptional. It's transformational. Jesus says, "I'm not going to leave you in the past. Behold, I'm doing a new thing." Jesus leads the way into the future, and he says, "Leave that past behind. The past is not going to save you anymore. The sacrifices are coming to an end. And the Lamb of God is just about to give his blood in place for you. And that's the only sacrifice you're going to need from now on." Come on, there's power here this morning, guys. Whew. Who's feeling it this morning? Are you feeling that Jesus is showing you the way forward? I'm loving this fountain gate. I'm loving it because it's the source of our power. Because Jesus promises, he says, "If you're thirsty, come to me and drink." He says, "I am the source of living water." He says, "There's power here. If you believe in me, streams of living water will flow through you." That's a promise for you and for me. That's a 2,000-year-old promise. That's the gift that just keeps on giving. Jesus says, it's not stopping here. It's not stopping. It's going to continue forever until I come again. And if you haven't grabbed hold of that already, friends, this is your moment. This is it. And the words of Jesus are so refreshing because he's the only one that can offer it. He's the only one that can give us life in all its fullness. Only Jesus can fulfill this desire in us. Give us this essential living water that leads us to eternal life. And I challenge you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, he says, if you believe in me, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you've not come to that point in your life, if you're thinking, I don't know what he's talking about, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? I'll tell you this, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the means of access for us to get to the throne room of God. Jesus says, cast all your cares upon me. Remember John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's Jesus. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Jesus is saying, give me all your sin. Give me all your bad stuff, all the crap in your life, all the stuff that's gone wrong. He says, past, present, future, it's going to be gone. I'm going to make it new. I'm going to make it all new if you trust, if you believe in me. So I just want to encourage you this morning, if that's where you're at, do something about it today. The living water will flow through you. And you might not know what that even means yet. You're like, well, what's that religious jargon? Living water flowing through, I don't know, what? But I tell you, when you feel it, you'll know it and you'll say, woo, why didn't I do this before? This is amazing. I'll have me some of that. A bit more of that, please. So that's our second point this morning. Power, the power of God is at our disposal. Jesus released it with this promise. Can you feel it? I'm doing a new thing. Can you sense it bubbling up inside you? Okay, so we're at point number three. We're talking potential. Now there was a question. What should the word be for this? Should it be potential? Should it be promise? It's got to start with a P, you see. I gave this word to Karen yesterday because she was preaching somewhere else. And so we went for potential, but I'm not sure promise might be better. But let's go for potential. Okay, so what is the difference that it makes to us having the living water flowing through us? I want to tell you a story. When Roy Godwin, if you've heard of Roy Godwin, he started Faldy Brennan, the retreat centre in Wales, a number of years ago. And initially, when they took on this farmhouse, they sensed a real resistance to the things of God. And as they prayed, they felt that they were just praying against the brick walls. And God wasn't moving, nothing was happening. And there was a real spiritual barrenness in the land around them. So they started asking questions of locals, found out that there'd not been water on that land for many, many years. And there'd been a real negative spiritual activity in that place. We know about that in Cornwall, don't we? We know about witches and covens and all that negative spiritual stuff, that the stuff that tries to stop the things of God. And they were determined to restore the water, partly for practical reasons, but also for the spiritual outpouring they were seeking. So they began to pray for the wells to be opened, barriers to be broken, release and freedom over the land and over the place where they were living. And that the Holy Spirit would come and move and bring healing and wholeness so that God's name would be worshipped. That's what they were all about. I've been there, actually. It's an amazing place. If you ever get a chance to go there, it's a real place where you'll sense the presence of God mightily. It's a real transformation in your thinking about God. I think we sang Shine, Jesus, Shine every morning in the morning chapel. Me and my fellow elder, we'd look at each other and go, let's sing it again, brother. Shine. Yeah, it was just the weirdest thing, but it was good. It was really good. So anyway, so they were praying around the property in every room, praying, praying, praying. And they had guests that had visited and had gone off to look at Wales and the mountains and the beauty of the scenery. And after they'd finished praying, the guests returned, went to bed, and they went to bed. And early the next morning, they were woken up by a big hammering on the door. And so they got out of bed, and all 30 guests were all standing outside their house. Now, these people didn't know each other. They'd all come from different parts of the country, the world probably. But they'd all been woken up at the same time with dreams and visions of Jesus speaking amazing words individually to them, to their lives, to their situations. And for each one of them, this had brought amazing healing. It touched areas of their lives that no one knew anything about. They'd had healing, they'd had freedom. And they stood there looking at Roy, demanding an explanation. What has happened to us? How come all of us have had a similar experience at the same time? what is this all about? What is this place? I think they thought it was a B&B, and they'd just gone the wrong turn. I've been there. I say it. It's really hard to find. Anyway, so Roy just says to them, he says, look, all I can say is this. God is blessing you. Let's just give him thanks and ask him to keep on blessing you. Then he closed the door and had his breakfast. And they all went, okay, I don't know what this is. Now, the reason I'm telling you this story is it's a breakthrough moment for them. But also because in the following weeks, a torrent of water began flowing out of the springs that had been dry for years. Now, I don't know how long that this place had been barren, but let's just say that the area had been named Sycbant. That's my best Welsh. That word, whatever that word is, I'm not going to say it again, it means dry stream bed. So you can imagine how long this place had been barren and had dryness about it. There was water wheels that hadn't been used for years. And there was so much problem with water that the National Park Authority had to liaise with the Environment Agency, and this new water began to influence all different aspects of life in that region, because that's what water does. Water brings transformation. You ever seen those pictures of the Serengeti when it's in flood and suddenly this dry, barren wasteland gets filled with plants and greenery, and just for that season, then it dies back again? And it's like that with water, isn't it? When water's released, there's a blessing that gets released alongside it. And in that place, now, if you were to go to Faldebrennan, they would tell you how they'd been visited by the presence of God, how they'd seen angels manifesting, how they'd had tangible and audible prompts of God, and it's a real place for spiritual awakening. Now, I'm telling you this about the Fountain Gate, because the Fountain Gate is really about the same thing. It's about the rivers of living water flowing within us. And this morning, I just want to encourage you to allow those rivers to flow. I just want to encourage you to uncap the wells of living water in your lives. So hearing that this course is starting tomorrow night, I was like, can't believe it. At the end, I'm going to say, look, you need to get in touch with the spirituality. You need to get in touch with what God wants to do through you. The water that's flowing out of your soul. Where is that going to? How is that being used? What is this promise of Jesus back there in Jerusalem? What does that mean to you today? How are you affecting your surroundings with this flow of living water coming from you? I want us to take steps towards seeing an initial or an additional release of the power of God in our lives this morning. Now, I wanted today to be hashtag Super Soaker Sunday. Okay, I had it already. I was going to pump up a super soaker and just spray the whole church. And as you went home thinking, these are my best clothes, you know. And as you looked at those water stains that developed over a number of weeks, you'd be thinking, that was at Murray on that Sunday morning. Look what he did to me. I'll never forget that morning for all the wrong reasons. I hope he never comes again. Anyway, I was talked out of the water gun, for obvious reasons. But really, I want to say to you that spiritually, you owe it to yourself. You owe it to God. You owe it to each other as a church, as a community, to uncap the wells of living water in your souls. This is a message of encouragement to you. As far as Jesus is concerned, the power is there. As far as Jesus is concerned, the pressure is there. I had water connected to my house last week. Yay. And I got this really dodgy, low-quality video through from my friend Nigel, who's building. And he's like, oh, look, we got water. And of course, he turns the tap on and it all pours out in a bucket. And you're like, yay. But it wouldn't do that before. It wouldn't do that before because it wasn't connected. Oh, this picks up all my points, doesn't it? So there was a disconnection. So we start off by preparing ourselves, by connecting to the source. Oh, right. And then what needs to be there is the supply needs to be there. Okay? The pressure needs to be there. Yeah? 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 That's the power. Point two. And then the third thing you need to do yourself, and God's not going to do this for you. You need to come to God and you need to say, God, I want this. I want this river to flow through me. Now, there's a reason why a lot of you have not been to this healing training course that's running tomorrow night. There is a reason behind that. And Jem kind of touched on it. And part of it is disappointment. What if it doesn't work? Oh, I've tried it before and nothing happened. You know what I mean? Those kind of reasons in your head, those rational explanations in your head. But actually, God wants this for all of us. He wants us to be the source of his power. He wants us to manifest his power in our lives, in the lives of other people, so that we can do what Zion did and walk up to someone in the street and say, look, God has told me to pray for you. I come to you bringing the power, the pressure, persistence. I've got no other P's, but you know what I'm saying? In prayer, I want you to see what God can do in your life. Are there areas in our life that we've deliberately been holding back from? Have we deliberately capped the well? Have we said, no more, God, I can't cope with this anymore? We had friends in Derby, and this chap, an amazing guy. He wasn't a Christian for lots and lots of years. His wife was. She was one of the elders in our church, and he was always, no, don't want anything to do with it. And eventually, he went to an Alpha course, and he found Jesus. Amen. And they had the Holy Spirit evening, as they had. How low-key is that? They should have had a whole weekend, shouldn't they? So they had a Holy Spirit evening, but it doesn't, you know. Anyway, so they have the Holy Spirit evening, and he's there, and he gets prayed for. And he basically went on fire, right? And he's like burning up like crazy. And he's like, he walks outside of the venue. It's Derby, remember, so it's freezing. And it's probably raining as well. And he's standing there, and he's like, God, what is this? What is this all about? And actually, if you let him pray for you, you would like come away with like second-degree burns. It would have, like one of these kind of superhero folks. And it was just the most amazing thing. I just thought, that's amazing. That's a gift you've got. But he said later, he said, you know what? I can't handle it. I don't want this gift. You say it's a blessing. You say it's a gift from God. I've just got this all the time. I'm just constantly on fire. And I'm like, yeah, like, why are you struggling with this? And, you know, for some of us, we're like, I want more fire, Lord, more. And others are like, tone it down, Lord. It's too hot in here. So I just wanted to say that there might have been a time in your life where you said, no more, God. Just stop there. But maybe this is the day when God is saying to you, it's time to open up again. Time to try again. Time to reach out. I'm ready for you. God is always ready. God doesn't have a super soaker though. He's got like a fire hose. Should I go there? Okay. Karen and I once had an experience. This sounds bad, doesn't it? This is to illustrate the point of the fire hose before you. Okay, we were in a Russian type country, and we'd went to this spa in inverted commas. At this spa, what they did, one of the first things they did was, there was a large Russian lady, more muscles than I will ever have, and a huge fire hose. And basically, you stood at one end of the room, and she stood at the other end. Are you ready? Davai. And she would open the fire hose full blast. And she would, from a distance of, I'm not kidding, this is like, say about 5 meters, she could manipulate, she could massage the muscles on your body. It was incredible. I'm just saying, the effects of a fire hose are better than a super soaker. But if she had a super soaker, we would have been disappointed. But the fire hose was like, there's too much. Anyway, the point is that God doesn't have a super soaker. God is ready, waiting with the fire hose. And when you're talking about pressure or power or passion, it's all the P's this morning, isn't it? God's got all of that. And he's like, I'm ready. Come on then, just say the words and I'll blast right through you. Because we kind of need that, don't we? We want God to be released through our lives. Do we? I say we do. Come on, do we? Yes. We want God to be released through our lives. We want the Holy Spirit to be affecting people around us. We want to see the fire of God falling on our situations. We want to see release from burdens, from chains. We want to see God in evidence in the people around us too, don't we? I don't have anything else to give you this morning, because that's really all you need. As long as you're connected to the source, as long as you are prepared to let God act and receive the power that he's promised you, and as long as you're ready to pray that prayer to God, either for the first time or again and again and again, God, release your power through me. Release those wells. Let those living waters spring up in my life. If you're ready to do that, this is the time to do it.